Tonight, we continue our series of specials, of special news coverage and forums for you to ask questions of the candidates for municipal office. Basically, tonight, we open the phones to you. All three of the people in our studio right now are currently serving in public office. Cheryl Westover is the incumbent mayor, finishing her first term. Mim McConnell and Tor Christensen are both assembly members, and all three of them want to be your mayor for the next 3 years, 2 years in that term, actually. But before they get that job, or keep that job, as the case may be, they have to answer your questions. So, we are here until 8 p.m., and if you have a question for these mayoral candidates, you can get our attention in any number of ways. You can email us, news@kcaw.org. You can visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/Raven Radio. You can tweet your questions on Twitter, we're at Raven Radio. Or you can just give us a call, ask your question on the air. The number here is 747-5877. One note, tonight's event is not a debate. It is a question and answer panel. This is your chance to find out how these people would serve if elected to become the mayor of Sitka. Before we start in on questions, I'm going to ask the candidates to introduce themselves. We'll begin on my left with Tor Christensen. Good evening, Tor.
Hello. This is Tor Christensen, lifelong Sitkan, and happy to be answering questions tonight.
And Mim McConnell, Ed said, I've been on the assembly for 3 years and been in Sitka steadily since 2000 and have a small business, and my husband has a small business and love being here. I have my family here, and happy to answer questions tonight also.
Hi, this is Cheryl Westover, and I'm also a lifelong Sitkan, only longer than Tor because I'm a little bit older. And I want to take this moment to, and I'm sure Mim and Tor would agree with me. First, I know we have a little six-year birthday out there, and last time I did this, I had a niece that had a birthday, and little Ava Urias, if you're out there listening, happy sixth birthday. And condolences to our city attorney. Her brother just passed away, so condolences to Teresa and Tracy Hillhouse and their family. And also the Mary Hughes family, our condolences to you. I don't remember not knowing Mary Hughes and her family, so just special condolences out there to you.
Thank you, Ed. Thanks. So, again, tonight we will be here until 8 p.m. answering questions about any number of issues that are affecting Sitka in the immediate future, in the distant future. It's what's on your mind tonight that we're interested in. Again, the number to call, 747-5877. We'll try to rotate as best as possible who starts each question, and we'll begin with the incumbent mayor, Cheryl Westover, and move our way around the room as the evening continues. Let's begin with a pretty general question. This is sort of how we began last night as well, which is, if in your case reelected, what's your biggest priority for the city of Sitka?
My biggest priority is probably to see Blue Lake get going strong, and maybe even be almost done if it is finishing in 2015. I also know that we've just increased harbor rates and utility rates and water and sewer rates, and I'm hoping that there's some way to help with those so that Sitka is just a little more affordable for our people. Thank you.
All right. Same question to you, Mim McConnell. Biggest priority for Sitka if elected mayor?
Well, I think the economy is right up there. You know, last week it was Blue Lake, and the actions taken at the assembly meeting kind of got things rolling on that. But that obviously is of great concern, and finding funding to finish paying for that project that came in way over bid. But the economy is huge, and I think it's really forefront in people's minds. And, you know, Sitka has had a tough year, and, you know, it's possible that we've got another tough one ahead of us. And there's things that we need to be doing to be creative and help strengthen our economy and the different drivers of our economy, help strengthen those different sources of income.
Tor Christensen, biggest priority as mayor?
Well, like the mayor said, the dam is a huge priority, although that's going to be decided in the next few months. I mean, whether or not how much we're going to have to get from the legislature and things. So I would say more my priority for the entire time would be on the economy, and more specifically the visitor industry. We need to get extremely proactive. It's time to get going. We have to be very actively courting the cruise ship lines, I would say, to maintain our level of cruise ship. Probably not realistic to have a whole lot more. And then also to be courting the smaller ships, the independent traveler, and doing some things that are, I guess, we haven't tried before. You know, I'd like to see us actively advertising, for instance. We just had the Food Network here, and if we don't have some sort of an ad on that show, where it's a half an hour show for Sitka, if we don't somewhere on there say, have an ad saying Sitka.org is where you go to learn how to come to Sitka, something's wrong, and we need to be doing that kind of thing hard. Everything else we do is going to be predicated on that, how much economic activity we can encourage. So,
all right. 747-5877, the number to call, and we have Matt on the phone. Matt, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I hope you guys can hear me. I'm out of my boat. It's a nice evening, but...
Where are you, Matt?
I'm off a cruise off, and it's nice out here, but my screaming Jimmy is real loud. So, you know, I'm really concerned with what's been happening in Sitka. Those that are on the assembly know that I show up there and ask you guys not to raise the mortgage rates, not to raise the cost of living in Sitka to a population that's struggling to tread water here. Here's the assembly throwing us lead weights. So the latest, you guys have all mentioned it, is the dam. Normally when you do a project like that, you make sure you got the money before you go ahead and say, let's do it. And if I understand right, I've been out of town, so I haven't read anything in the paper, but just listening when I can on the radio, which you guys went into executive session, so I didn't get to hear any of the deliberation. How the heck are we going to pay for this, what, $40 million shortfall? There's communities going bankrupt all over America right now by doing the exact same things that this assembly is doing. So that's my question. How are we going to pay for this $40 million shortfall
for the dam? All right. Thanks, Matt. Good question. Min McConnell, we'll begin with you. How to pay for the Blue Lake overages?
Well, my understanding of, in a very simple fashion, is part of this will come from a bond issue over and above what has been talked about. And then the rest of it we hope to get from the state of Alaska. So we will be approaching our legislators during the session coming up and hoping to get the rest of it covered.
All right. Tor Christensen, strategies for affording Blue Lake.
Well, as I am afraid that I kind of dominated a little bit there because of that question myself, or at least talked a lot. I'm not sure dominated is the right word at the last meeting because of that. And I was very tempted to vote no on accepting the bid because we hadn't determined that. But we're kind of locked in. But we did not – we voted to accept the bid, but we did not do the vote to proceed. And those are very different things. I mean, basically, we chose the contractor if we're going to do it, but we haven't told them to go ahead. We're going to have to work real hard with legislature, for starters, because I think right now our plan is that we're going to bond out as much as we are going to anyway, because the legislature is not going to give us any more than they were going to in the first place. So we're going to bond out that part and work with Bert and work as hard as we can to get the legislature to give us more money.
Bert is Senator Bert Stedman.
Yes. Okay. Essentially, right now, we would be looking at shortly, if we didn't have to pay the extra $40 million, we're about a little less than 13 cents a kilowatt hour on average in 2017. If we don't get any money from the state, we're looking at about 16 cents. I think we need to, the average in the state is 14 cents a kilowatt hour. We need to be very aggressive with the legislature in their advocating. Basically, we should probably have the old assembly camped out there the entire legislative period to say, look, we can't let Sitka's rates go over 14 cents. And, you know, the other thing that our finance department has worked really hard to look at extending the length of the bonds, going out 30 years or even 35 to make the impact less. And since dams generally last 100 years or more, I think there's dams even older than that out there, you know, that would still work. So we have a lot of work to do, but the main thing is we need to keep our eye on the goal of keeping the rates down. I mean, what does this mean to our rates? Because doing nothing isn't really an option. Our rates are going to go, if we decide not to do the dam, the amount of diesel fuel we'd be using, we would be up in the 16, 17 cents a kilowatt hour anyway. So we've just got to get to work.
Mayor Cheryl Westover, Blue Lake.
Hey, Matt. We're kind of damned if we do and damned if we don't on this this little baby. And I wanted to say that, and I hope the kids aren't out there listening. I think everything that Mim and Tor said is true. Also, I think one thing to keep in mind, this is a huge project. And I've talked with the administrator and the electric director and said, you know, this is going to happen. I'm just pretty sure of it. So let's make sure that our locals get hired if they're capable of doing the job. Let's make sure our people with housing is asked if it's affordable. And I mean like apartments and that sort of thing, not affordable housing, and that's a different issue. And another thing I think to keep in mind, for the 4 years of construction, we're going to have two roads being rebuilt and redone, and we're going to be building a dam. I think the town's going to look like a snapshot of a little boom town, and I'm hoping this will increase our sales tax revenues to the point where, since we can't take money from our enterprise funds, but the general fund can help the enterprise funds, and maybe one way we can help with rates is to help buy some diesel in the electric department if sales tax dollars go up as much as I think they will, and why we'd even talk about our harbors and that sort of thing with the same thing, but that wasn't the question. But everything that Mim and Tor said, and maybe just a little bit more.
All right, Cheryl, thank you. Matt, thanks for the question. 747-5877, if you have a question. Brian, go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi, Ed, thanks for hosting this. So I have a question. I have a pretty good job in Sitka, it's not bad. I spend about half of my income on housing, and I just, on an individual level, that's not sustainable for me. And so I'd like to know or hear what your thoughts are as far as affordable housing and how to keep people, especially, let's say, younger people, in Sitka over the long term.
Thanks for the question, Brian. Tor Christensen will begin with you on that.
Well, we've talked about this a lot, I think personally it's a real case of supply and demand. And the city has the ability to increase the supply. We've got the Benchlands project. We've talked about it a lot. I think we need to get that on the market with some caveats to allow planned unit development where you have smaller lot sizes with some zoning easements for smaller setbacks and things like that to allow smaller houses. So in other words, we can say, yes, we'll sell it to you, but as a restriction on the deeds that they have to produce a certain number of lots. We've also got other land. There's the land, I was just talking to Chris Bruton about this, that up behind the high school that the electric department owns, a very pretty good-sized hunk of land that's already near the road system that we could sell and also offset the cost of the dam and kind of kill two birds with one stone there. Unfortunately, looking at affordable housing as a city project where the city is more involved with the actual building and the project, similar to what we looked at with the city shops, I think is not particularly reasonable for our economic situation right now. I don't think the city should be in the business of building houses or even helping finance. I think the best thing we can do is increase the supply. Let the market do it. Not that I would be necessarily opposed to those other projects, but I have yet to see one that really worked out, that really did what we wanted it to do at a reasonable amount. So we've got, like I said, quite a bit of land around the city that's not doing us any good, that we need to get out there, get it sold, and just increase the supply, because with only 9,000 plus people, we get enough more land on the market, prices will come down. There's no way, it's around that.
All right. Mayor Cheryl Westover, affordable housing.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what Tor said. I don't know if we get a lot of land out there, houses are going to be affordable. It's just darn costly to build a home here, and what's affordable, my definition of affordable might be different than yours, Brian, but I know when my first house, and now my second house, I'm paying well over my half of my income, probably more like 60%. But then on the other hand, my first one, I was working 16 and 18 hours a day. And it's just a matter of what you're willing to do to get to where you want to go. And, you know, I don't think government does a whole lot of things well in getting into the affordable housing. I would rather see us do what I said in the previous question and talk about helping with rates so that those are maybe some of the things we can do and get our land out there. But then building a house, any way you look at it, it costs a lot of money to develop land. One thing, and I don't mean to take too long, take more than my turn, but, and also we better start thinking we've got to make sure there are enough rock quarries out there, because everything we need that we want to build on right now is muskeg, and we've got to have rock, and I know for a fact that it's tripled in the last 15 years. So that's another thing I think we can do to help, with building.
Ma'am McConnell, what can the city of Sitka do about affordable housing?
Well, affordable housing is, there's no one answer to help us with making our housing affordable. There are many different things that can happen, one of which we've kind of touched on lightly about, I think, or maybe I'm from listening to the assembly one last night, but that's family wages. We need to build up our economy in such a way that we're producing jobs for people that are not just service industry, but really good family wage jobs, so that people are making a decent living, so that they can afford the housing that's here and not have to pay any more than 30 or 35% for their housing costs. Another one is that we can be working on our zoning codes. And I know that CETA has been, as a part of the Sitka Economic Forum, that Phyllis Hackett and I talked with CETA and the Chamber about putting on last spring. There were three issues that were chosen, voted on by over 60 people that attended. The one that got the highest number of votes was affordable housing. The second one was branding, and the third was the dock. But out of the ad hoc group that is working on affordable housing, one of the groups there is working on zoning. And I think that we'll be seeing something coming to the assembly dealing with zoning issues. And that might include density. It might include having attached or unattached buildings on a property, just changing different things to loosen things up a little bit, and so that that housing is a little bit easier to have, that's affordable. And then another one is looking at neighborhood planning, taking a look at walkability and not just the density, but walkability and what makes a good neighborhood, and have some public meetings that are talking about that, so that when we're talking about the bench lands and talking about putting in a development in there, let's not just say, well, let's just do a suburbia. Let's actually take a look and see what makes a healthy neighborhood, and that's going to help with making good quality living. And then the issue that's near and dear to my heart, which is working on a community land trust, and I just came from a conference in Burlington, Vermont, where community land trust started over 20 years ago, 25, 30 years ago, I believe, and it's, in a nutshell, it's an organization like SCDC, Sitka Community Development Corporation, owns land, whether they buy it or it's given to them by the city or whatever. They own that land, and then a homeowner can build a home on that land, not have to pay for the land. All they end up doing is paying just like $50 a month lease, and there's a lease agreement that's signed, and it has to stay perpetually affordable. And so when they can sell the land, but it has to stay within a certain amount. It can't go over like 2 or 3% for inflation. And but they're like 99-year leases, so it's something you can pass down to your family. And but it's a great way to provide not just affordable, but workforce housing and elder housing, something that we need in this community.
The Sitka Community Development Corporation, you cited there, we should just disclose that you are the executive director of that organization?
Yes, volunteer.
Volunteer executive director of that organization. Okay. To the Raven Radio Facebook page now for a question. Ted wants to know this. He says, nonprofits are a big part of Sitka's economy. What are the candidates' views regarding nonprofit organizations and the city's relationship to them? Cheryl Westover, you start off this round.
Well, I think nonprofits are half of our economic engine, and I think our for-profit businesses are the other half. And I think when you look at property tax and sales tax, you have to go to your private businesses that help out the city, and the nonprofits do work that otherwise probably wouldn't be done in our community. And ever since I've been on the assembly, I've had an evolving opinion of nonprofits and realize they are a huge part, but I don't want to ever lose sight of the fact that our for-profit businesses are out there paying their property tax and collecting sales tax, and they need, right now, in Sitka, they need just as much as help as our nonprofits.
I want to just ask a follow-up. What form would that help take? Do you envision some sort of financial contribution that mirrors what the nonprofits get, or...
No, I think what we do is look for bringing in more cruise ship passengers or independent travelers, that type of thing. I don't see taking our general fund money and helping our businesses, but people ask why we give one and not the other, and that might be a question for the voters someday to decide.
Ms. McConnell, your views on nonprofit organizations and the city's relationship to them.
I am a firm supporter in nonprofits. They are a huge part of our community, not only in providing so many services that no one else is providing, including the city, for example, health and social services type things. Many city governments provide those kind of services, but Sitka doesn't. And so our nonprofits pick up the slack with that, and that's really necessary. Another thing that I think a lot of people don't realize about nonprofits is that quite often they actually run for-profit businesses in order to help keep afloat. I can give you an example of one. The Chamber of Commerce runs the Sitka Artisans Market, and it makes money from that. And the it also is a sales tax collector, because all the vendors have to pay city sales tax. So it's for their sales during the time that they're here at the market. So this is a plus. This is just an example of how a nonprofit can be a part of that for-profit structure in the community.
So the city's relationship then to them in terms of support?
I think they should be supporting them, yeah. I mean, it helps bring in revenue to the city, and it helps meet the needs of the citizens.
All right. Tor Christensen, the city's relationship with nonprofit organizations.
Well, first of all, not all nonprofits are created equal. Some are purely charitable organizations. Other ones are quasi-state agencies. And then you've got, ones like Mim was saying that have business attributes to them. I should probably say that some nonprofits, in fact, many of them do pay property tax. Not all of them get the property tax break. Most pay sales tax. There's only a couple that don't pay sales tax. Search comes to mind. Ones that have a large government part of it. But as far as how I view our relationship with them, I look at it as return on investment for what we put into it, what Sitka getting, and not just in hard dollar terms, but in terms of socially and things like that. I think the Fine Arts Camp is a great example for what we have put into it, which is their property tax exemption, which we don't have any choice on because they're an educational institution. We're getting a huge, the number of jobs they have over there is growing, every year. They're getting millions of dollars bringing in from outside. They've put local contractors to work. So what we need to do is use them, from the assembly and the city's point of view, not as a as an individual, we need to look at the nonprofits as economic engines. I mean, you know, we look at the good work they're doing. I think the assumption is most of the nonprofits are doing very good. I can't think of any that don't, are doing good work. But the question we have to ask ourselves when we're supporting them is you know, again, what's our return on investment? And we get a huge return. Sitka would not be doing as well as it. In fact, you could argue that our largest employer in town, Search, is a nonprofit with 500 people working there. So we need to keep supporting that sector of the economy, and look for. We need to be very much on the lookout for non-monetary ways to help. Quite often, that is as useful or more than the actual money. You know, for instance, the resolution that we passed supporting the Fine Arts Camp. I just know because I was talking to Roger that cost us nothing. It was just an attaboy, wound up helping pull in millions of dollars of grants because it showed that support. And then we need to continue to try and be very aware and be very open to any time one of our nonprofits looks for that support, we can give it.